If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby. Kellen wants to light up the scoreboard. I want to run the damn ball. Maybe that's not such a controversial take after all, Chop.
No, maybe not.
Maybe Mike McCarthy was right.
He can do it at BYU if Steve Young has his way.
I was about to say more on McCarthy in a second. We got to get to Kellen Moore, the best offensive play designer in the NFC East by far.
Shut up.
Kellen Moore last
week. Tell to the charge. What happened to his ass in L.A.?
Last week, Steve Young was doing a radio tour in Idaho for a book that he's written on law. Because he actually has a law degree from BYU. But Steve Young was talking to Boise Radio, and the question of Kellen Moore came up, and he started heaping praise on top of Kellen and said, I got my eyes on him.
I'll whisper it to you guys. I want Kellen to, you know, he needs to be a future coach at BYU. So, you know, I don't worry about that right now.
Kellen Moore, this is his dream, by the way. Kellen doesn't want to, like, I mean, Kellen enjoys coaching in the NFL. Kellen has always wanted to be a college head coach.
I thought he had the opportunity to.
No, he went to Boise, which would have been the perfect fit. Boise, apparently, at the time when they interviewed him, and Kellen got better and learned from the experience, but at the time when Boise interviewed him at the end of the 20 season, I think it was the end of 20 or 21, Boise liked all the X's and O's stuff. They felt like he came in there and it's like, oh, he has no plan on how to build a program. Like that it's just everything that goes into the CEO stuff of recruiting and, you know, getting things set up, building a staff and building an offseason program. When they sat down and talked to him, they're like, he's too far behind on this. He doesn't have a strong enough plan to do these sort of things. But Kellen is somebody who I think X's and O's wise is really sharp. As much as like people see just kind of the stale personality on the outside, he's a younger guy who's generally well liked by his teammates, is somebody who connects well to young players, has that sort of thing. I think college is absolutely in his future. BYU, I would be really surprised by. Although, if you're talking about like the way that he can, you know, the reputation he has on the West Coast in terms of being a guy who came from Prosser, Washington, has connections all up and down the West Coast to coaches and stuff like that, and that's obviously where BYU does a lot of their work. He would be pretty good, I think, coaching at the college level. It would just be a matter of, has he fixed that issue of developing a plan, like developing a program structure, things like that.
Concepts of a plan.
Concepts of a plan. That's exactly it. Is that that's the thing that he got the biggest feedback on. I don't know that he's ever going to get a shot as an NFL head coach, even if he didn't want to. I think that's got to be his future at some point is college.
I think he'd be a pretty good college coach. Look, you see with Josh Heupel, like if you have a very good, like it's like a very easy system to figure out.
For Josh Heupel, the coach at TU,
yeah, right, absolutely. Like it's a plug and play. Like you get an accurate quarterback, that thing is going to put up 60 points, and it's like, especially with college defenses, they almost all, so many of them now are playing the 3-3-5. And you can really expose teams with you know, just remotely good quarterback play.
But don't look at me. I don't care about Kellen Moore. We're two stops past this. I have nothing for it. I don't care.
I'm gonna make my call right now. He's the next head coach at Colorado. That'll be my gutsy take here after Deion. Okay, the famous quote from Mike McCarthy last year, which he hated getting out in the public, even though it was said on the record, and he has constantly tried to shame people behind the scenes for it ever since then, is that Mike had said, Kellen wants to light up the scoreboard, I want to run the damn ball. That he wants to give his defense a break, give him a rest. And Chop, we both agree that that's not that running the ball is not the way to win in today's NFL.
It's disgusting.
Right.
You can have it as a part of your game, but only if it's right there. You soften up the defense enough to where
Babe Laufenberg was dismissing the importance of the run game last Thursday.
Yes, he was.
At 40.
As he should, because EPA, which is expected points added, so this is an efficiency stat. It's basically, it measures how well a team performs relative to expectation.
Slow down, Bobby. Just breathe. I know what's going on behind the scenes. Just breathe and concentrate on executing each word.
Wrong. I don't have Adderall, Chop. Yeah. That's the problem.
Right.
That's the problem.
So why do I have this right here?
ADD or yes. The ADHD. You needed to come. Your ADHD needed to come down.
Expected points added.
Hey!
Sean is a measure of how well a team performs relative to expectation. And so basically this will be on a per snap basis. So a lot of what goes into this is third and seven, given like, you know, down distance, where you're at on the field, and the probabilities that go into how successful you're likely to be there on that drive and how likely it is that you're going to score on that play or on that drive and a number of different factors like that. So the expected points added historically over the last decade has been way more efficient for passing the ball than running the ball.
I think what the number was the best rushing attack was the equivalent to about the 17th or 18th best passing attack.
Yeah, in fact, EPA, which is what it stands for, EPA per play over the last decade, since 2014, there has not been a single season where running the ball on average adds to your EPA. It on average is negative EPA for each play.
Mm.
And for passing the ball, it's relatively been around on average for much of the last decade, around a half a point or a 0.05 is what it right. is. No, 0.05. And typically
half a point would be amazing.
Yeah, no, half a point would be ridiculous. But it's something that where you go back, it's the complete opposite end on the negative spectrum for running the ball. Until the last couple years, where running has still maintained down. But the last 2 years, passing has also been negative EPA on average per play. And that's the first time it's been that way in 10 to 12 years. And this first week of the NFL season might have seen the full reversal. Because in the first week, it was negative 0.07 EPA per play to throw the ball. And it was even, flat even for running the ball.
That was Bill Belichick's big week one takeaway, the number of 175-yard passers or less. Yeah.
So I have a theory on this that I just came up with.
Hit me.
Well thought.
So those numbers were like that over the last 10, 15 years. Because everyone, so 15 years ago, not everyone was big on the analytics of the game, right?
Right.
Okay.
And now everyone is.
For the most part, yes.
There's maybe two or three teams that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So because everyone's in on the analytics now, everyone believes passing the ball is the way to win. So what you have is 15 years ago, if you did not have a top 10, 15 quarterback, you still ran an old school play, right, type of system. And now everyone is throwing the ball like crazy, including the quarterbacks who have no business throwing the ball like crazy.
Okay.
And I wonder if that skews the numbers down.
Well, what is really,
see what I mean?
Yeah, what's really skewing these numbers right now is people like Lamar Jackson, is that you take running quarterbacks, mobile quarterbacks are becoming such a thing that the EPA they're adding by when they run the ball and the type of gap.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dash runs that they're getting, or when they're scrambling and a pass play is taken away, then that's starting to balance things out a little bit. In fact, they said that this past week, there's been no week since 1999, which is as far back as EPA data goes. There is no week where quarterback scrambles scored as high on EPA as they did last week. That's the highest week in the history of the NFL, where scrambling as a quarterback added to your end result. So when you actually take out quarterbacks running, passing is still considered much more efficient. Like the numbers showed that in week one, well, passing the ball was still more efficient than running it as long as you took out the quarterback scrambles. But these guys that run or reverses to receivers like they did with CD and they had success with that, that's showing that gadget run plays and some of the different ways to run, if you just kind of evolve your run game a little bit and include other aspects of it, it's showing it can be as efficient as
throwing. So no one is buying that the hand it off, give this guy 20, 25 carries is coming back. just like I grouped that into the category of the postman in the NBA, winning with small ball and baseball. Right. None of us are thinking that this is a sign of that, the zig and zag.
Oh, I don't think it's a sign that the singular back is coming back. Like, I don't think we'll ever see that again. But I could absolutely see it. I think it does need to come back for certain teams. If you don't have
bums at quarterback.
Right. If you have bums at quarterback, you're not going to win either way. But I think your better chance of winning is to try to slow the game down. Like, if you're like
who's Rob Mayo. You know, Patriots. Right, yeah. The run game that they had.
Yeah.
Ramondre. With Jacoby Brissett.
Who I told you to draft.
But like.
What?
Who I told you to draft, Ramondre.
It was a good pick by you.
If you're the Giants, if you're Carolina, right? Those kind of teams, Raiders. You don't have a viable maybe the Raiders might with the Gardner, but you don't have a viable quarterback. You're not going to win by throwing the ball 30 times with those guys.
How many we talked about this the other day. There were two quarterbacks that had 300-yard passing games this past week. It was Matthew Stafford, who went into overtime, didn't handle the ball in overtime, but it was an overtime game. And then it was Tua. Those were the only 300-yard passers this week. In fact, that's the first time two or fewer passers threw for 300 yards in week one since 2005. My mom was around to see the last one, guys. That's how long ago it was, okay? There were seven players that rushed for 100 yards compared to the two 300-yard passers. It's like, okay, well, maybe you got up big. Yeah, Derek Carr only threw for 200 yards. Baker Mayfield threw for under 300. There were still 100-yard receivers. There were four receivers that went for 120 yards receiving this past week. Five running backs went for 120.
Mm.
And so it's becoming a little bit of something where you have more success on the ground. Teams are trying to take away the pass with the two high looks. But you're also getting, again, the scrambling. Jaden Daniels rushed for 88 yards. That was 10th among all players this past week. We already know that Jalen Hurts uses his legs. Lamar Jackson was one of those guys who had 122 yards rushing or 120 yards rushing. That was four right there. And so the ability even of like big time passers like Mahomes and Allen and their ability to scramble and kind of put pressure on things, that also incorporates it. Now, the other question of this is specific to Dallas. Does that give you any pause if the league is trending this direction that you don't have one of these guys anymore who's mobile and can threaten with his legs?
That doesn't give me pause. I had the pause already.
Yeah.
I need
you and Jerry both.
I need someone with some burst. You know, I know you had written in your prep email, hey, it's fine as long as you can get 4 yards of carry. No, man, I need the threat of someone who can break one. And right now, that's my biggest problem with the running game. Zeke Elliott is getting these props because it was a little bit overblown. Look, we have to throw ourselves into the mix. No one thought Zeke was like dead, but that's the way we treated him. Like, he was the NFL running back version of like a dead body.
Right.
And, you know, especially early in the season, he's capable of what he did the other day against Cleveland, and we were more looking forward to a goal line carry, 4th and 1. But there's no breakaway. What's the stat that Eatman gave us about a 30-yard run? It's been
They haven't had a 30-yard run since 21.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
That's the problem.
That's a lot. Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, yeah, you absolutely want somebody that has some burst. I mean, but, like, would you not have wanted Curtis Martin? I know it's different. I don't remember Curtis doing.
Are you calling Zeke Curtis Martin?
I think that's offensive to Curtis Martin at this point.
It's very offensive.
At this point, but Zeke's, I think Zeke's peak was
okay.
What do you think?
Well, I'm talking about like right now.
We always think 5 yards per carry, I think, is like, oh, that's a really efficient big time runner. What's the number for receivers, for instance? Like yards per catch, we go 15?
15, I think.
15, okay.
13.5 to 15.
This maybe? Past week on the 15 yards, there were 12 receivers who had 15 yards per carry. There were 16 players that rushed for 5 yards per carry this week.
Wow. That's a lot. Is there a minimum there, or could it be one run?
No, that's qualifying, guys.
Let's get you ready for Rocker, DeGrom, and Scherzer with our Odyssey Baseball Insider. Our buddy Brett Boone joins us on the Home of the Rangers next.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.